When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert.
Ladies and gentlemen, my next guest is a poet and journalist who has won numerous literary awards for his work, including his book, How the Word is Passed, which was a number one New York Times bestseller. Please welcome to The Late Show, Clint Smith. Nice to meet you.
It's good to be here.
Nice to meet you. Now, I want to get to this as quickly as possible because I'm a fan of poetry and you have a new book of poetry called Above Ground. You are a staff writer for The Atlantic, number one New York Times bestseller, nonfiction book, How the Word is Passed. This one is a collection of poems. You're going for the big money with the poetry is what you're doing.
Clearly.
You're selling out.
Clearly.
Okay. Yeah. What is it, and this is a semi-rhetorical question, but I want a semi-rhetorical answer, if you don't mind, which is, what is it you can do with poetry that you cannot achieve in prose?
For me, I think poetry is the act of paying attention. It pushes me to pay attention to a moment, a feeling, an idea, an image. It's almost like if there's a tree in front of your house, and you walk past that tree every single day, and if somebody asks you to describe that tree, you could probably tell them the sort of general contours of the tree, what color it is. But then if one moment you stop in front of that tree on your commute, on your way to walk the dog, bring the kids to school, and you look at the tree and you really pay attention to the tree, and maybe you have a camera and you zoom in on a particular leaf, and you see that that leaf actually is three different shades of green. And then you look on the edge of it and you see how it's turning yellow as the seasons change. And you look near the stem and you see how a caterpillar took a bite and there's a hole near the stem. It just allows you to pay attention to that tree, to see that tree in a way that, you know, you've seen that tree before, but now you see it with a specificity and a granularity and an intimacy that I think allows you to see it in new ways. And that's what poetry does for me. And in this book, I think I try to turn that sort of lens toward fatherhood and think about those moments with my kids, those moments with my wife, those moments that I want to hold on to.
You all leaves on each other's trees.
All the little leaves, yeah.
Do you know E.E. Cummings, not a tree can count his leaves, each herself by opening, but shining who by thousands mean only one amazing thing?
I do now, yeah.
You talk about paying attention. How is that, in your opinion, how is that related to love? Because I am a big fan of this line from Greta Gerwig's Lady Bird, where a nun that she's talking to asks her about her writing. She goes, well, I just pay attention to things. Mm. And the nun says, don't you think there might be the same thing, love and attention?
I'm gonna have to rewatch that movie. It's beautiful.
Yes.
I do think there's a lot of the sort of a lot of overlap between those two. I mean, what is love other than giving your attention, your time, a part of you to another person? And I think that part of what you try to do as a parent, part of what you try to do as a human, to be the best version of yourself, is to be present and to give that attention. To people, to give that attention to moments, to give that attention to that tree in front of your house, or to the dog, you know, who's running across your front porch, or to the sunset that you might never pay attention to. And I think that poems, again, they sort of force you to pay attention and force me in some way, remind me how much of the world that there is to love, despite the sort of despair and sense of catastrophe that we often feel so much of.
Well, I want to talk about that love and that despair at the same time, which is there a thematic through line to Above Ground that relates to those?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, part of what I'm thinking about in the collection is the simultaneity of the human experience, how We move through the world holding joy and love and wonder and awe alongside a sense of despair, a sense of fear, amid the backdrop of ecological and social catastrophe. And so I'm thinking about that in the context of the human experience, and then in the context of parenthood, thinking about how parenthood is this thing that is filled with so much inspiration, so much silliness, so much levity, so much joy, and it is also really scary and really exhausting and really difficult, and how parenthood is this thing that shows you the parts of yourself that you love and the parts of yourself that you're proud of, and also shows you parts of yourself that you might be ashamed of, parts of yourself that you might not like that hadn't been revealed to you in the same way. And I'm always interested in how we hold all of that together, how we sort of carry all of that in our bodies, in our lives all at once.
One thing that occurs to me about parenthood is the sense of responsibility, but also awareness of a certain powerlessness in the face of the reality of human existence. Romano Guardini in The Fullness of Eternity talks about how in the dawn we're aware of the sunset. Mm. And that's the fullness of our human experience, is that, how did you describe it? Joy and despair together.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first poem you ever wrote?
I do. It was in third grade, and my teacher assigned us to write a poem about a color. And I chose the color gray. I don't know why. I guess I was a somber, sad child.
Joy and despair.
Joy and despair. And it went something like, I hate the color gray. It reminds me of a rainy day. Gray, I really hate that color. It's annoying, like my little brother. To be clear, me and my brother have a great relationship now. He's a great guy. But he was a toddler. Toddlers are, they're just by nature very annoying. So, but I remember my teacher came up to me after Miss Mueller. She came up to me and she put her hand on my shoulder. She looked over and she read the poem. And she looked at me and she said, Clint, that was beautiful. You can be a writer when you grow up. For all I know, she could have gone and said that to every kid in the room. Like, I have no idea. But what I do know is that I remembered that moment for the rest of my life. And that's not to create some sort of neat, linear relationship between, like, that moment and now becoming a writer, but it was always in my head. It always existed as a possibility. And I tell that story to teachers all the time because you never know what's going to stay with a child. Like, you never know what sort of offhand comment you make is going to stay with a young person.
You started your career as a high school English teacher, right?
I did.
Do you miss it?
Oh, every day. I think talking to teenagers about literature is just like one of the most fun things in the world. Any teachers? Hey! Those are my people. It was amazing. I mean, just like we'd sit in a circle and we'd read Toni Morrison, we'd read Faulkner, we'd read, you know, contemporary young adult novelists, we'd read Keats, we'd watch, you know, slam poets, we put the canon in conversations with the things that we think have been excluded from the canon, trying to understand why that was happening. It was amazing. And I just have so much admiration for the work that teachers have done and continue to do, especially coming out of COVID. So many of our students have had such a hard time academically, socially, and I've seen, because I've been in the classroom and I know so many teachers, and I speak to so many teachers all the time, I know how hard they are working, even when nobody's paying attention. I know how much of themselves they give every single day to these students, to these schools.
The name of the collection is Above Ground. The poet is Clint Smith. And before we go, could I ask you to read one of your poems?
I would love to. All at once. The redwoods are on fire in California. A flood submerges a neighborhood that sat quiet on the coast for three centuries. A child takes their first steps and tumbles into a father's arms. Two people in New Orleans fall in love under an oak tree whose branches bend like sorrow. A forest of seeds are planted in new soil. A glacier melts into the ocean and the sea climbs closer to the land. A man comes home from war and holds his son for the first time. A man is killed by a drone that thinks his jug of water is a bomb. Your best friend relapses and isn't picking up the phone. Your son's teacher calls to say he stood up for another boy in class. A country below the equator ends a 20-year civil war. A soldier across the Atlantic fires the shot that begins another. The scientists find a vaccine that will save millions of people's lives. Your mother's cancer has returned, and the doctors say there is nothing else they can do. There is a funeral procession in the morning and a wedding in the afternoon. The river that gives us water to drink is the same one that might wash us away.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Above Ground is available now. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Pod Show listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.